Good morning. Today's Daf Yavamos Ayin Dalid. We're on the very bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. We're at the two dots, about five lines from the bottom of Ochlan Betoma. So this takes us back to yesterday here in the eighth parak of the Masechta. Our discussion revolves around who is eligible to eat truma, who's not eligible to eat truma. The parak opened up with an arel. An arel is not allowed to eat truma. According to Rashi, even an arel who is an ones, for reasons not having nothing to do with himself, he's just simply unable to bring he's unable to get a bris milah. Nevertheless, he can't. That kohen cannot eat truma. So how do we know that? So as we point out in the beginning of the parak, so it's drushes. It's not a pasuk in chumash. The pesukim in chumash that detail who can eat truma, who cannot eat truma, are found mostly in parshas Amor. And so an arul is not mentioned over there. So we have drushes. Either it's learned by gzeirah shavah, according to Rabbi Kiva, it's ish ish. The repetitive language used at the beginning of Perichov Beis. Anyway, so Narwhal cannot eat Truma. Okay, what other activities can an Arul engage in? So as we go back to Ein Beis, so we talked about an Arul and his ability to be involved in Paraduma. Can the Arul do Hazah? The answer was yes. Ein Gimel, that's otherwise known as yesterday's Daf, so the Gemara litigated the following. Can an Arul eat Meiser Sheni? So again, just to review, Meiser Sheni, so in the tithing process in Eretz Yisrael, so the first thing you do is you take off truma, you take off 2% of your crop and you give it to the kohen. That's truma gedola. Truma gedola has kedusha. Nine kohens is not allowed to eat truma, and that's your first 2%. Next 10% that goes off is given to the levi. That's what's called maaser rishon. Now, ostensibly, I'm going to say this now, and later we will introduce ourselves to a somewhat of an unusual shita, but Meiser Rishon given to the Levi, it's 10%, and the Levi can eat it. He can invite other people to eat it with him as well. Meaning Meiser Rishon doesn't have kedusha, but you have to give it to the Levi. It's Mam and Levi, and then the next 10% that comes off, what's done with it depends which year we are in the Shemitah cycle. In years 1, 2, 4, and 5, so it's what's called Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni has an element of kedusha. Okay. It's certainly debatable how much kedusha we're talking about, but we know for sure, the Torah says with clarity, that you take your Meiser Sheni, you bring it to Yerushalayim, you have to eat in Yerushalayim. Alternatively, you could be poda the Meiser Sheni onto money, bring the money to Yerushalayim, and then spend the money on food in Yerushalayim. In years 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle, so it's not Meiser Sheni, but rather it's Meiser Ani. That 10% in year 3 and 6 is going to be given to the poor. Okay. An RL is or is not allowed to eat Meiser Sheni? That is the open-ended question. We started this question yesterday, and yesterday, if you remember, we arrived at no conclusion. One of the things that we attempted to do was quote a Mishnah in Chagiga, a couple of Mishnahs in Chagiga, meaning Truma and Bikurim are different than Meiser in the following areas. And Bikurim and Meiser Sheni are different than Truma in the following areas. So what we try to do is we try to say, oh, you know what's conspicuously absent from that Mishnah? So the example of an Arel. An Arel was left out of that Mishnah. Must tell something regarding Arel. And the Gemara's answer was, no, Tana V'Shayer. The Mishnah over there was not an exhaustive list. The Mishnah over there was just giving us an assortment of examples, but it wasn't an exhaustive list of examples. Adkan, that basically is a review of everything we've done up until now. We're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. So as we were going through this Mishnayos, so what did we observe? That if you eat Meiser or Bikurim, Betumas Atzman. Now remember, as it relates to Tumah, Tumah can come in one of two ways. Either you can become Tame eating any of these items, Bikurim, Truma, or Meiser Sheni, or the items themselves can become Tame and you're eating them. Now, if they're telling me how you're going to eat them while remaining tower, so someone's going to stick it down your throat. Okay. Unpleasant, but okay. Anyway, but what's the halacha? The halacha is that when it comes to Meiser, when it comes to Bikurim, and you eat them, the Meiser and the Bikurim, sorry. Yeah, no, I'm right. The Meiser and the Bikurim, and you eat it while it's in the state of Tuma, so you're going to be subject to Malkus. Mashain came with Truma. Now, when as it relates to Truma, no, you're not going to get Malkus. Meaning, it is prohibited to eat it while it is Tameh, but you're not going to get Malkus. So the Gemara says, and this, so the Gemara makes a quick comment over here. Fine, you're not going to get malchus, but it's still prohibited. Meaning it's an isser min haTorah, just with no onus. It just doesn't have a punishment. So, minalan amakra, b'sharecha tochlenu. So, and we know it from the pasuk of b'sharecha tochlenu. Hopefully you remember from yesterday. This is a pasuk from Parshas Re'eh. This is talking about the ability, the allowance to eat psula and mukdashim. You had a carbon, it became pasul. You redeem it. It had a mum. You redeem it. So you are allowed to eat it. In your allowance to eat it, so what you can do is you can eat it while it's tummy. Your tummy, its tummy, it doesn't matter. So, and b'sharecha tochlenu. And the key word over here is tochlenu. You can eat it. And if you're listening carefully, if your ears are really delicate right now, so that means that there's something similar to this that you're not allowed to eat. L'zev lo la'acher. So you're not allowed to eat something comparable. So what's comparable over here? Well, as far as any other candidate, where kachim, we have psukim for kachim, and same thing with Meister Sheni, and same thing with Bikurim. So what are we talking about over here? We're talking about truma. So v'lav haba, mechla asay. So we're only learning that truma cannot be eaten while it's tamei, and we're learning it inferentially. This is what's called a lav haba, mechla asay. And so therefore, categorically, has the isser, it's called an isser asay. Fine, so with an isser asay, it's asser, it's just not, you're not subject to punishment. There's no malchus. Okay, quick comment, we move on. I'm Rav Ashi Mireisha Nami Shamas Minei Detan V'Shayer. Okay, so again, this takes us back to yesterday's daf. In yesterday's daf, we quoted two sections of the Mishnah in Chagiga. The first section was, Truma Bikurim is not like Meiser Sheni. And the second section was, Meiser Sheni, sorry. No, let me do that again. Truma and Bikurim, no, I was right. Truma and Bikurim are not like Meiser Sheni in the following ways. And Meiser and Bikurim are comparable, unlike Truma, in the following ways. Okay, those are the two halves of the Mishnah in Chagiga. If you remember yesterday's daf, so what do we say in the second half of the Mishnah? Tana v'shayer. There are a couple of examples that were just simply left out, which means that it's not an exhaustive list. The Gemara now is simply are pointing out that we could say the same thing on the first half as well. So Amar Rav Ashi Mireisha Nami Shamas Mina Tana v'shayer Midlo Ketani V'Noagim B'Shar Shnei Shavua V'Ein Lahem Pijon Mashayin Kim B'Meiser Shma Mina. You know, when it comes to Truma, when it comes to Bikurim, so which years of the Shemitah cycle do they apply? All of them. Meaning 1 through 6. As opposed to Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni only applies 1, 2, 4, and 5. Okay. That wasn't listed in the Mishnah. Pijon. The fact that it's redeemable. So, Meiser Sheni, redeemable. Truma Bikurim, non-redeemable. That wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah. Okay. Fine. So, once again, it's just another way to articulate that it's not an exhaustive list. So, our first 2 points this morning are just simply touching up a little bit on what we learned in yesterday's daf. Okay, Tashma. We're on Ein Dalam and Aleph. We are going to re-litigate. Okay, we opened the question yesterday, and yesterday we were inconclusive in our answer. We're going to reopen the case again today. What's standing trial right now? Is a RL allowed to eat Meiser Sheni? It's a simple question, and we don't have right now, where there's no source in the Torah, even an RL in his prohibition of eating Truma, so that is well established, but even that doesn't have a pasuk in the Torah. But good, but that's well established, meaning that's the opening Mishnah, that is really the theme of this, not this entire perek, but of the first now three dapim of our perek is dedicated to an RL not eating Truma. And so now we're trying to expand. Can an Arul eat Meiser Sheni? Yes or no? And so yesterday, we came back with an inconclusive conclusion. So we're going to reopen the case today as well. Tashma. We're going to rattle off three different brisos. Each one of them seem to be having a opinion on this matter. So Nishtai Rubo, Tzitzin Ma'akvin, Esamila. So let's say the person got a Mila, but it was an unsuccessful Mila. Still, some flaps of the Arla are now covering parts of the Atara. So, and as we already established, we saw this 2 days ago. This is also in the 19th parak of Shabbos, and that is Tzitzin HaMa'akvin. So if there are any part of the Atara that's covered, so, and as we learned just a couple days ago, even if it's Rov Gova, in other words, we're not talking about the full circumference, we're talking about even just a portion of the Atara. So the halacha is that the person is considered like an Arul. He has the status of totally uncircumcised. So here in the Braisa, so now he is restricted. He's banned from eating Truma and Pesach and Kachim and Meiser. Ah, Here we have it. We have the word meiser. But again, meiser in of itself is not perfectly clear what kind of meiser we're talking about. And so let's go. So my lav meiser dagan. So presumably we're talking about meiser dagan, grain meiser. Now grain meiser presumably is meiser sheni, which is what we're litigating. So the Gemara says, lo meiser behema. Now, meiser over there meant meiser behema. Now meiser behema is a carbon. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. Meiser behema, hainu kachim. Well, did you go back over that braisa? Look at the list. It says, lo b'truma, v'lo b'pesach, v'lo b'kachim. Kachim are all carbonos. And then the braisa, yeah, and then the braisa says meiser, and you mean to tell me that it's talking about meiser behema? That's redundant. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. You're bothered about redundancy? Look back at the Braisa. It says, not Pesach, not Kachim. Well, what just happened over there? So the Gemara says, Bishlam, Pesach and Kachim Tzricha. So the Gemara says, well, the truth of the matter is that never bothered me. Pesach and Kachim. Why? Because the Itan of Pesach Mishum Darelis, but Pesach Siva. If the Braisa only would have said Karm Pesach, here's what I would have said. Yeah, Karm Pesach, and now can't eat Karm Pesach because the Torah says so. Meaning open up to Parshas Bo and go through the 12th parak and you're going to see a number of psukim that say, Aro lo socha bo and Aro keni karm pesach. So, aval kashim hem alone. I don't know if that expanded to other karbanos. So that's why the Braisa had to say pesach and say kachim. Vi'itan kachim hava amin and my kachim pay pesach. And if the Braisa only would have said the word kachim, I would have said, okay. But not all kachim, meaning just pesach. Why? Because again, only the psukim by pesach are clearest than an aro keni karm pesach. So it needs to say pesach and it needs to say kachim. So those two terms in the braisa complement one another. Ela meiser behema lamali. But why does it mention meiser behema? So in other words, at that point in time, it would be totally redundant. Okay, so we are now, we struck meiser behema out of the discussion. So it says the word meiser. So it must be meiser dagan. And meiser dagan must be meiser sheni. What else could it be talking about? So the Gemara says, I'll give you another suggestion. Ella Meiser Rishon, Rabbi Meir, Damar Meiser Rishon, Asa Lazarim. Well, maybe the word Meiser in the Braisa is a reference to Meiser Rishon, and it's subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir has a quirky position, which is that Meiser Rishon, just like Truma, can only be eaten by Kohanim. Rabbi Meir says, same thing with Meiser Rishon regarding Leviim. Meiser Rishon can only be eaten by Leviim. And a non-Levi cannot eat Meiser Rishon. Now, this is not the consensus viewpoint. This is not the accepted viewpoint. The accepted viewpoint is Meiser Rishon is Mamon Levi, but there's no Isser, there's no Kedusha by Meiser Rishon. But there is a Shita out there. Maybe this Braisa is authored by Rabbi Meir. If that's true, then the Meiser over here is not a reference to Meiser Sheni. It's a reference to Meiser Rishon. Okay, and then what does that mean? It will not help our case. Our case right now, on the docket right now, is Ken and Arul E. Meiser Sheni. This price is talking about Meiser Rishon. It's subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Meir. Okay. Tashma. Round two. Midini Rabbi Chia bar Rav Midifti. Arul also b'shte Meisros. Okay, we have another price. This price says that an Arul is not allowed to eat both Meisros. Now, what's both? So, my love, Echa Meiser Dagan, Echa Meiser Behemoth. So, once again, must be Meiser Dagan, you know, the grain Meiser, right, which is Meiser Sheni, and the animal Meiser, otherwise known as Meiser Behema. So, Hachinami Meiser Rishon, Rabbi Meir. Again, once we know about this Shita of Rabbi Meir, so when we could do that again to this Braisa, we can plug it into this Braisa. This Braisa is talking about Meiser Rishon, and it's Aliba de Shitas Rabbi Meir. Tashma. Here we go, round three. Oni Nasa be Meiser, Moter be Chuma Vapara. So, we're going to talk about three consumable items, and we're going to be talking about three people who have various disqualifications. We're going to start with our onen. So once again, here's what we know. We've gone through this a number of times. An onen, not the way we use it today, in terms of somebody who lost one of his krovim, but in terms of karbanos. Now, an onen by karban is somebody who lost one of his seven relatives. Now, for the balance of that day of the Yom HaMisa, that person, it cannot eat karbanos. Okay, doesn't matter. Kohen, doesn't matter. Notable exceptions are Kohen Gadol, but okay, that's a notable exception. And so an onen cannot eat karbanos. Fine, for the balance of that day. The night afterwards, even if there wasn't a kvura, the night afterwards, minatora allowed to eat. Discussion elsewhere whether or not midrabanan you're allowed to eat the night afterwards. Good. Anyway, but an onen cannot eat karban. That we know for sure. Onen, Aser b'Meiser, u'Mutar b'Truma b'Para. So, we start off with the Onen. Onen cannot eat Meiser, is allowed to eat Truma and Para. Okay, no restrictions for an Onen to eat Truma and Para. It goes without saying, but I'll say it. An Onen is not somebody who's Tamei, meaning he lost one of his seven relatives, but obviously we're talking about the case where he did not have contact. Neither Maga, nor Masa, nor Ohel, obviously. If he's Tamei, whole new game we're discussing. So if we were talking about just simply he's an Onen, but not Tamei. Okay, so we know regarding the Onen that you're not allowed to eat Meiser, but you're allowed to eat Truma and Para, and you're allowed to be engaged in Para, meaning Para Aduma, doing the Hazah, the Kiddush, all the things that we discussed yesterday. Tvul Yom. Now we move to a Tvul Yom. So a Tvul Yom is somebody who was absolutely Tamei. Tumas Sheretz, Tumas Mace, and now Tumas Mace, it's a 7-day process. Tumas Sheretz, it's a 1-day process, but either we're on the 7th day for Mace or we're on the 1st day from Sheretz, and he toveled in the mikvah. And now, at this point in time, he needs Herav Shemesh, he needs the sun to set on this individual. Until such, he has a residual Tumah. So, a Tvul Yom, Asr B'Trumah, Nalati Trumah, now, allowed to be engaged in Para Duma. We established that yesterday. And allowed to eat Meiser. And finally, Mechusa Kippurim, Asa B'Para, Mutar B'Truma V'Meiser. Now, our Mechusa Kippurim. Mechusa Kippurim is somebody who was Tamei, who needs to bring Karbanos at the end of his Tuma. So, an assortment of examples over here. Mitzora, for example. Azav, for example. So the, Azav Gadol, or Azav Gadola. So they have to go through a Tumah process 7 days, and on the 8th day, they have to bring an assortment of Karbanah. So, on day 7, for all these people, they tovel in the mikvah, they experience Herav Shemesh, and then the next morning, they're going to have to bring Karbanos. Until such, until they bring Karbanos, they're what's called Mechusar Kapara, and they're not allowed to go into the base of Mikdash, they're not allowed to eat Karbanos. Okay, good.
Do you think that the issue would be more makol than makol? It seems like because they're not allowed to do paradumah service, whereas the Herav Shemesh can't, right?
Mechusa kaparim. So I'm going to clarify. That's an excellent point. I'm going to clarify that in just a moment. And I say I'm going to clarify that, meaning I'm going to read Rashi. So mechusa kaparim aser bepara. Mechusa kaparim cannot engage in para motu b'chumah v'meiser, and is allowed to eat chumah and allowed to eat meiser. Okay, now. Ben made an excellent point. Let's amplify this point. Let's clarify this point. Okay, did you just notice that our Tvul Yom is allowed to engage in Paraduma, and the Mechusa Kippurim is not allowed to engage in Paraduma? What? Mechusa Kippurim is more tahor than our Tvul Yom. Our Tvul Yom was Tamei, and all he did was just tovel in the mikvah, but he still needs Herav Shemesh. Our Mechusa Kippurim, just give me a moment. Our Mechusa Kippurim, so he already previously, the day prior, he told them the mikvah. He already had Herav Shemesh, and now Mechusa Kippurim, and now he can't do the Parah Aduma. That's weird. So Rashi says, yes, it's weird, but it's correct. Meaning, Rashi says, here's what you have to do. In other words, in our heads, we're gonna have to make two categories. Good. Category number one: somebody who only needs Tvul Yom and Herav Shemesh. So, for example, somebody comes into contact with a sheretz, or somebody comes into contact with a mace. So, now granted, the duration of tumah is longer for the sheretz 1 day, for the mace it's 7 days. But still, they still belong in the same category. Why? Because they, for their tahara, only need toveling in the mikvah and herav shemesh. If they only need those two things, so now once they tovel in the mikvah, most of the work is done. Why? Because when it comes to Herav Shemesh, that's going to come automatically. So for them, they have a small amount of residual Tumah, and because it's going to happen automatically, so they could be viewed mostly Tahor. I know these are funny terms, but it's the right way to think about it. When it comes to Mechusa Kippurim, so once you're in that category of Tumah where I need any Tvila, I need Herav Shemesh, and I also need to bring Karbanos on day 8. So for you, even after you've done 2 of the 3, you told them the mikvah, you experience Herav Shemesh, still, the next day, you're going to have to bring Karbanos. And that's not happening automatically. That you have to do. So for the one who needs Mechusa Kippurim, so even though Two of the three he gets checks for, but still, because he has to bring karbanos the next day, and because it's not happening automatically, he's not mostly tahor. And he's still going to be prohibited from engaging paraduma.
But he's sort of like a school young guy who already had experienced Erev Shemesh, so he's actually a step beyond that, no?
So, everything you're saying is correct, but go back to what I just said. Okay, fine. And everything I just said, is Rashi. I just said it outside. Okay.
So what does Rashi do with Truma?
So Truma meaning what?
Meaning Truma, the Chesed Kapara can't eat.
Right. Good. So why is this only true regarding Para? Why is this distinction not true regarding Truma?
Well, but it's the opposite for Truma.
It's the same for Truma. It's the same. Meaning
but the keys are flipped.
For Truma, you need Tvila and you need Harav Shemesh. For both categories. For both categories, you need two of them. The Tful Yom cannot. Correct. The Tful Yom needs Tvila and he needs Harav Shemesh. Even for our person who needs to bring Karbanos, he still needs Tvila and he needs Harav Shemesh. So they're leveled all for Truma. Okay. So V'im Isa. Now, having said the Braisa, now the Gemara wants to know. V'im Isa Nisne Arel, also Truma Motar Bepara Meiser. So now, there were three people that had issues in the Braisa. Issues, by the way, you know, halachic issues, right? Onain a Tvul Yom and a Mechusi Kippurim. You know what also would have been wonderful compliment to those? Stick in the RL. The RL would have been a wonderful compliment because an RL cannot eat Truma, meaning we know that, and allowed to be involved in Paraduma. Once again, we know that already as well. We established that. And if the halacha is that an arul is allowed to eat meiser, so then it would have been a wonderful compliment. Because again, did you see the pattern of the braisa? These are people with halachic issues and are prohibited in one aspect, permitted in two aspects. So arul would have been a wonderful match. Why didn't the braisa include it? It's because an arul is not allowed to eat meiser. Okay. Now, admittedly, the argument is not the strongest of arguments, meaning Aro would have been a great fit in that Braisa. It wasn't put in the Braisa. Oh, so therefore, let's deduce.
But Aro is considered a different category because Aro is not as transient as the other three categories. Aro is like a more of an active guy.
Good.
Has control over it, but these guys are
I'm
more
perfect.
Passive,
I like your point. I accept your point. Meaning for other reasons, for ulterior reasons, the Aro just doesn't belong in this list.
Right.
Good. I accept. So the Uvamaiser has a high tana de Rabbi Kiva he demar b'leila aro katame. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the author of the Braisa is Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva views the aro like a tame. In other words, an aro is basically nichlal; it's included. Because as we tried to argue, we tried to argue this point a couple days ago as well, that for Rabbi Kiva, aro and tuma are basically equivalent with one another. Detan Rabbi Kiva Omer ishish l'rabba sasa aro. Remember, how did Rabbi Kiva know that an aro can't eat truma? It's the ish. Now the ish, that's the beginning of Perichav Beis in Vayikra, last week's Parsha. The ish is talking about a Tameh, and Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, but the double language, it's also talking about an Arel as well. Meaning in Rabbi Akiva's viewpoint, an Arel categorically belongs with Tama. Doesn't mean that an Arel is Tameh, just simply means that categorically it belongs the same. Umantana. Now this next line of Gemara, admittedly, is really difficult to read, and Rashi struggles, Tosfos struggles. The Gra takes out words over here in order to help us navigate through it. I'm going to go through this quickly, but these are hard lines of Gemara to read. Umantana de Palagalad Rabbi Kiva, who argues with Rabbi Kiva, meaning who does not put Arel and Tuma in the same category? So Tana de Rav Yosef Bavlihi. The Tanakama of Rav Yosef Bavli. What are we making reference to? The following Braisa. De Tanya Willentana Braisa. Sreifas Onain. Or Mechusa Kippurim Ksheira, that if an Onain or Mechusa Kippurim were to do the Sreifa of the Paraduma, that would be Kasher. And Rabbi Yosef Abavli, Omer Onain Ksheirin. So as far as the Onain is concerned, that's acceptable. But Mechusa Kippurim Psula, but not Mechusa Kippurim, cannot be involved in the Sreifa Sapara. And as Rashi points out over here, so here's the equation the Gemara is making. Rashi, right alongside where we are in the Gemara, just a couple of lines up. Tana Kama di Yosef HaBavli Hidamar Mechusi Kippurim Kasher Bepara, that the Mechusi Kippurim is allowed to burn the Paraduma. V'hamasis and Dukimnek Rabbi Kiva Ketani Mechusi Kippurim Pasol Bepara. Now the Braisa that we aligned with Rabbi Akiva is telling us that a Mechusi Kippurim cannot be involved in the Parah. V'chi Hecha de Palag a Mechusi Kippurim Ikalamemar de Iu Palag Nami Alei Ba'aro. So, the Tanakama of this Braisa we just learned. Well, if he's arguing with Mechusi Kippurim, so ostensibly he's also arguing with Arel as well. Okay. Why the two necessarily have to go hand in hand? That's what Tosfos is bothered by. Tosfos has an alternate reading of this Gemara over here. We're going to go on. Okay, so let's just, a lot of trees. Let's not get lost. The Gemara is really asking just one question. It just happens to be that we don't have any good sourcing for this question. Can an Arul eat Meiser Sheni? Yes or no? That's the question. That's where we started at the top of the Amud. We actually asked the question yesterday. So this is now day two on this question of, can an Arul eat Meiser Sheni? At this point in time, we don't have a clear source. We're continuing in the Gemara. We're in Ein Dal Amud Aleph. We're halfway down in the Amud. Vav Rav Yitzchak Sever Arul Asur B'Meiser. So we have an Amara who has an opinion on the matter. It's Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says that an Arul cannot eat Meiser Sheni. How do I know that? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Minayin L'Arul Shasur B'Meiser Nemar Mimena B'Meiser V'Nemar Mimena B'Pesach. Ma Mimenu Amar B'Pesach Arul Asur Bo. Af Mimenu Asur B'Meiser Arul Asur Bo. So what Rabbi Yitzchak has is a Gzeira Shava. Okay. And linking Meiser Sheni with Karban Pesach. We know by Karban Pesach an Arul cannot eat Karban Pesach. The psukim are replete on that point. So now we have Gzeira Shava hyperlinking the two parshios one to the other. And so therefore the Gzeira Shava linking the two, once we know that Meiser Sheni cannot be, Once we know that an Arul can't eat Karban Pesach and we have Gzeira Shava linking it to Meiser Sheni, who did an Arul cannot eat Meiser Sheni? In other words, it's a classic Gzeira Shava. So Mufni, now the Gemara wants to gauge the strength of the Gzeira Shava. Hopefully you remember because once again, we did this also recently. Can a Gzeira Shava be challenged? It depends. If it is double bonded, right? I was just doing this with my daughter, right? Trying to relearn chemistry. So covalent bonds. Yeah. So if it's double bonded, where the words that are used in order to make the Gzeira Shava are both superfluous. So then what we're looking at is an ironclad Gzeira Shava, unchallengeable. If on the other hand, the words are not superfluous and they're needed just to make simple points on either side, so then it's not mufnim, it's the Mishnei Tzadim, and therefore challengeable. What kind of Gzeira Shava are we talking about over here? We know the words that are used are the words mimenu. So are the words superfluous? That's exactly what we're trying to figure out. Mufni di'ila mufni kol mifrech mala pesach shekein chayav mala mishum pikol nos betamei. And because the challenge is really easy, you're going to compare Pesach Sheni to my Pesach Sheni. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. If you're trying to compare Pesach to Meiser Sheni, Pesach is, it's a carbon, pigel, noser, tame, all the carbon disqualifications. And you're going to compare that to Meiser Sheni, so they're not comparable. So, but if the Gzeira Shava is ironclad, okay, we don't care that it's not comparable. Because the Gzeira Shava links the two. So la yafnui mufne. So my mufne. So the Gemara says, okay, nu. So let's hear how the word mimenu on both sides of the Gzeira Shava are superfluous. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Talsa mimenu ksiv bePesach. So let's start with Pesach. So how many mimenus are there by Pesach? Three. I only need one of those three to be superfluous. No big deal. So chad l'gufe. So the Gemara says first and foremost, the pasuk of al tochlenu mimenu na, don't eat it while it's partially cooked. The word mimenu over there, l'gufe. Talking about Karban Pesach, meaning I first need to know that we're talking about Karban Pesach. Good. Now, v'chal Gzeira Shava, the second one is coming for Gzeira Shava, lo siru mimenu. By the way, I'm looking at Rashi over here for the psukim, but good. But that's it's a good cheat. So, lo siru mimenu. And then, v'chal lamanda, amra ba, kasalite lecha se'ach lo sa'asei. So, and then the third mimenu is coming to tell me that, let's say I leave over nosar of the Karban Pesach, so what do I do? So, ba'esh tisrofu, right? V'hanosar mimenu, and any leftover of the Karban Pesach, ba'esh tisrofu. And that's telling me that there's an essay after the Los Asay. I did the chsiv, nosar. Chsiv nami mimenu. So fine. So there, it's just telling me that in the event that I leave anything over, which I shouldn't have done, but I left over Karban Pesach, so you burn it. Then you burn it the next day. In other words, it's a lav anitak lase, and therefore you're not going to get malchus. Ulaman damar li ten lo boker shen l'sreifa. So I did dechsev ad boker ksev nami mimenu. Alternatively, when you burn it, you cannot burn it the next morning. You know why? Because the next morning is yantiv, and you're not allowed to burn kashim on yantiv. You're not allowed to burn nosar on yantiv. What do you have to do? You have to wait till the following morning, which is the first day of Chol HaMoed. Okay. Anyway, first point over here is that the word mimenu by Karban Pesach, there are three of them. One of them is superfluous. Now we turn to the other side of the Gzeres Shavah, Maaser Sheni. So we got to see the mimenus over there. Which one of them is superfluous? So, Tolasa mimenu ksiva ma'maaser. Chad l'gufe, one is to tell us the guf halacha v'chad. L'de Rabbi Abau, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. And the second one is for the halacha of Rabbi Abau. And the halacha of Rabbi Abau, that I'm allowed to burn Shemesh al Shuma. Right? And in fact, we already established that in yesterday's daf. And v'chala de Reish Lakish, I'm Reish Lakish, I'm Rabbi Simai, minayin la Maaser Sheni shenit moshemut alasocho. Let's say Maaser Sheni becomes Tameh. So what can I do with the Maaser Sheni? So I can't eat the Maaser Sheni, but what you could do is you could rub it into your skin. Shenemer v'lone sati mimenu, lemeis. Look at the vidui by Maaser Sheni. What didn't I do with the Maaser Sheni? I didn't take the Maaser Sheni, I didn't use it for the dead. Okay, now. Lemeis u'delon asati, halachai dumya demeis nasati. So it means that I didn't use it for the dead, but rather I used it for me. Now, this is a funny question. How can a dead person and me enjoy something in the same manner? That's a really funny question. The Gemara says, rubbing it into your skin. Okay, so right, it's an odd point. I admit it's an odd point, but just like you could take oil and rub it into the skin of a mace, you can also rub into the skin of a chai as well. Consumption, obviously, eating, obviously, that's out of the question. They can't eat, I can eat. Okay, fine. So anyway, fine. So what you can't do with the Maaser Sheni is rub it into the skin of a mace. But what you can do, however, is that lo and behold, it's tame. You could rub it into your skin. Anyway, what comes out over here is that there are three mimenus by Maaser Sheni. Now, if you've been following, we have used each one of them to make a point. Now, what does that mean? None of them are superfluous. What does that mean? It means it's the Gzer Shava, but only on one side is it Mufne. On the other side, it's not Mufne. Maska Flamar Zutra. Next point of the Gemara. Vei Malika Chlo. I'm sorry. No, I'm one step ahead. Sorry. Maska Flamar Zutra. Mar Zutra wonders. Vei Malika Chlo Aron Vitachrichin. Maybe it is to tell me that I am using the Maaser Sheni in order to purchase Aron v'Tachrichin. Am Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua mimenu migufo. No, we're talking about using the Maaser Sheni itself. Rav Ashi amar lo nasati dumya d'lo achalti. Malahala migufo afkan migufo. Okay, and Rav Ashi says no. It's dumya d'lo achalti. Similar to I didn't eat it, so I didn't use it for a mace. Meaning actual usage of the oil of the Maaser Sheni. Okay, fine. Sorry. Now, if it's a one-sided gzereshava, now what I mean by that is it is a gzereshava. We have words, same words on both ends of it, but only on one side is it mufne. So, does that create an ironclad gzereshava? Machlokas. Some say yes, some say no. So let's assume, like the position, it doesn't create an ironclad Zereshava, we have a problem. So what we're going to do is we're going to free up one of the mimenus by Maaser Sheni. How so? Because the halacha that was generated by one of those, we can actually generate from another pasuk. So the multiple trumas, meaning the one that's tahor and the one that's tameh, is for you, the kohanim. Meaning if the truma's tahor, eat it. If the truma's tameh, enjoy it. Meaning use it as fuel, use it as illumination. Okay, so we know the halacha from another pasuk. What happens now is that one of the mimenus by Maaser Sheni now becomes free and clear. Now on the Pesach side, we have a Mimenu that's free and clear. On the Meiser side, we have a Mimenu that's free and clear. It is now Mufna Mishnei Tzadim. We are all now happy campers. We have Gzeirah Shavah. We have Gzeirah Shavah linking Meiser Sheni to Karban Pesach. Just like an Aron cannot eat Karban Pesach, that's Beferush, so too an Aron cannot eat Meiser Sheni as well. So, after a lengthy discussion here in Yevamos, a daf and a half, Ayin Gimel in its entirety, Ayin Dalet, half of it, so it's a daf and a half of Gemara, all discussing whether or not an Aron can eat Meiser Sheni, the Gemara's conclusion, an Aron cannot eat Meiser Sheni. I anticipated the question. I have no good answer. Okay, good. Perfect. It means I didn't do my due diligence. Okay, let's go on. V'chol ha-tameim. Okay, we are now going all the way back to the beginning of the Perek. Okay, Perek takes us back. We've been here for a while now. Perek started on Daf Ayin. We're on Ayin Hey. Almost a week so far we've been in this Perek. We are now on the second word of the Mishnah. That's pretty good. So, Aro v'chol ha-tameim lo yochlu b'truma. Second, third word. So an Aron and a Tameh cannot eat Truma. Good. Gemara. Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, all the way in the bottom. V'chol Tameh Menanim Ili Amar Rav Yochim Mishim Rabbi Shmuel Makra. Ish Ish Mizeron V'utzeru Ozav. So, the Pasuk says that anyone Mizera Aron... Oh, by the way, just to understand and amplify the Gemara's question over here, Menanim Ili... There is no pasuk that says with absolute clarity that a tamei person, a tamei kohen, cannot eat truma. Meaning, there's a certain assumption that you can't do it. But how do I know that? Okay. Once it's funny. In other words, there is no pasuk that tells us that an aron cannot eat truma, even though that is the absolute halacha. There is no pasuk that says clearly. There's a pasuk that insinuates, but no pasuk that says clearly that a tamei kohen cannot eat truma. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Menani mila, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Kray, Yishish Mizara Aron, V'hutzaru Ozav." Now, if you read on in the pasuk, I'm just going to borrow this because this has the whole pasuk. Mine does not. Your Gemara is fancier than mine. So, yeah. So the Vashemesh. I'm going to find it. Okay, I should have came with the chumash today. That was my fault. Okay, v'nefesh kiyashe digamav v'tamah ad arev. No. Okay. Anyway, the psukim in the beginning of Perichav Beis. Okay, nefesh. This is one of the pesukim. Okay, sorry. Nefesh asherti gabo v'tama ad ha'arev. Sorry, ad ha'arev v'lo yocha min ha'kadashim kim rechas besar b'mayim. So he's not allowed to eat min ha'kadashim. Doesn't say the word truma. So how do I know? How do I know that a tamei kohen cannot eat truma? Okay, so ezu davar sheshava bizarro shel aron have yomer zet truma. Okay, so it says mizera aron. Meaning something that can be enjoyed by all Kohanim. Give me an example of something that can be enjoyed by all Kohanim. It's not Karbanos. Remember, Karbanos, as far as the Kohen is concerned, only Zichrei Kuhuna can eat Karbanos. And even then, you have to be eligible. You can't be whatever. It's the Havayomer Zichuma. What's something that can be eaten by all Kohanim, male and female? And that of course, is Truma. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema b'chaz v'shok. So the Gemara says, wait one second. That's not true. Chaz v'shok, right? The parts of a shlamim that are given to the Kohanim, so that can be eaten by all Kohanim, right? So the Gemara says, no, not all Kohanim. Ein b'chozeres, Bas Kohen was married to Yisrael. We just did this recently in the seventh perek. We get to review this point again. So the Bas Kohen married to Yisrael, so while she's married to the Yisrael, forget about it. She's not enjoying any of the matnas kahuna. She's not eating truma. She's out for now. But what happens upon death or divorce and she has no children? She's chozera. She goes back to her family. She gets to eat truma once again. However, she doesn't eat chaz v'shok. Now we know that because of a drasha. But anyway, we know that. So It's not the so Chazav v'shok is not enjoyed by all Kohanim. You can have Kohanim that are just simply not going to be able to eat Chazav v'shok. So the Gemara says Chumanami and a bechalala. Oh, the Gemara says okay. Once you go there, so I'll tell you that a chalala cannot eat chuma, as we have already established. Let's say for example a grusha marries a kohen and they have bia, so she becomes a chalala, ineligible to eat chuma. So the Gemara makes such a strong statement. Chalala lav zaru de aron hi. At that point in time, she's out of the family. She's not zarusha aron. Okay, once a woman becomes a chalala, she becomes, the word chalala, we've gone over this numerous times. The word chalala means hollow. She becomes totally devoid of any kedushas kahuna. And now the Gemara is saying it even stronger, meaning she's not mizera aron. That's it. She's out of the family. So, umimai dahai ad asher yitar ad ikar ev shemesh. Okay, fine. Fine. So we're talking about Chuma. Okay, good. So that point is well established. Now that we know that we're talking about Chuma, so when can a Kohen re-engage in eat Chuma? So when he becomes Tahara. But again, there are stages of Tahara, as we've gone over. So at what stage in the Tahara? So there first is Tefillah, then there's Harav Shemesh, and for some Tamei people, what do they need? They need Kapara. Mechusa Kippurim. So Adah Sheyitar Adika Harav Shemesh, Ema Adamaisi Kapara. So I don't know, says the Gemara, maybe Ad Asher Yitar, which is in the Pasuk, is until he goes through all three stages of the Tahara process, including bringing the Karbanos on day 8. So Lo Sakadacha, the Tan, the Be'er Rebbe Shmuel, Bezav, Baal Shtei, Yosef, Misara, Muska, Kasa, Medaber, Dumya, the Tamei Nefesh. No, because we know the Pasukim, again, this is all in the beginning of Perichah Beis. We know the Pasuk is talking about a Zav and a Mitzara, but what kind of Zav? So a zav bal shtei reios does not need to bring karbanos on day 8. What kind of mitzora? A mitzora musgar, a quarantined mitzora who does not need to go through the karbanos. Right? Remember your Mishnah Megillah, ein bein mitzora musgar, mitzora muchlat. Okay, except for tziporim and all the karbanos. Okay, anyway. So and how do I know that? Because contextually, context tells us everything. So in the pasuk it also mentions tamei nefesh, tamei meis. No karbanos are needed for Tumas Meis. Okay. So, ma tamei meis delabar kapara haninami delabar b'nei kapara ninu. Okay, so the context tells me that we're talking about where there are no, where it's mechusa kapara. Sorry. Where there are no karbanos that are necessary. So, ve'ema hanimila delabar kapara valdabar kapara damaisi kapara visu. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So here's what I'll give you. I'll give you that. If your Kohen, who's tamei, doesn't need to bring karbanos, he's a tamei meis. He's a zav roe bal shtei riyos. He's a mitzora musgar. So fine. So I'll give that to you. That for him he needs tefillah. He needs harav shemesh. That I'm going to give to you. But here's where I'm going to push back. Let's say he needs kapara. Let's say he's a zav bal gimel riyos. Let's say he's a mitzora muchlat. So here's what I'll argue. I'll argue for such an individual. So he needs to go through all three stages before each truma. So the Gemara says, v'hadidnan, and in fact, we have a Mishnah. Tava v'ala, ochel, b'maiser, harishima, ochel b'chuma, hevi kapara, ochel b'kachim. We're going through the stages of tahara. So when you hit that first step of tahara, you tell them the mikvah, congratulations, you can eat maiser sheni. When you go through the second step of tahara, which is harav shemesh, mazel tov, you can now eat truma. And then when you go through the third stage of tahara, the next day, when you bring your karbanos, now you yourself can eat karban. Okay. But again, what I don't know, says the Gemara, is that once I have an individual who needs three steps of tahara, so maybe he can't eat chuma until the third step. So minalan, amarav, amarav, chista, tlasa, kraik, siva. So the Gemara says, okay, but we have three psukim that reflect the three steps of tahara. V'lo yochal min ha-kadashim kim rachatz besara b'mayim ha-rachatz tahor. So once you tovel the mikvah, you're a step closer to tahara. In fact, let's say better, you're tahor. Again, not fully tahara, but you had now an element of tahara. Uksivu v'ashemesh v'tahar v'achar yochal min ha-kadashim. And then we have another pasuk v'ashemesh v'tahir. Okay? So v'ksiv v'chiper alah kohen v'tahira. Okay, so new, there are three psukim that talk about the tahara stages. So, ha-ketzad. So how do you become tahara, then become tahara, then become tahara? And the answer is very simple. You incrementally become more tahara to the point where you are fully tahara. So ha-ketza kanla maiser kanla chuma kanla kadashim. So it's very simple. That step one gets you to eating maiser. Step two gets you to eating chuma. Step three gets you to eating karban. So the epochana, and now the Gemara. Okay, this is the reflexive reaction of the Gemara. We'll push back. So the Gemara now is going to push back. We're going to start the pushback now, but we'll finish this tomorrow. The epochana. So the Gemara says, I don't know. How about this? How about at the three stages of tahara: tefillah, harashemesh, and karbanos the next day. How about that after tefillah, now he's allowed to eat truma? And after Harav Shemesh, now he's allowed to eat Maiser Sheni. How about that? So the Gemara says no. So Mistaber Truma Adifa Shekein Machpaz. So the Gemara says no. Truma, you have all those chomers by truma, right? Misa, Chomesh, Zar. Okay, sorry, I wasn't quick on the pay. Right, Misa, Chomesh, Pigeon. Thank you, and Zaras. So three chumas that you have by truma that you don't have by Maiser Sheni. And if you didn't understand all four of those characteristics, just go back to yesterday's daf. Adraba Maiser Adifa Shekein Hadas Tav. So the Gemara says, okay, but you have so many things that are specific to Maiser Sheni. And the Gemara gives us Hadas Tav. And Hadas Tav obviously is a mnemonic. And the Hay is, I'm looking at Rashi. The Hay is Avas Makom, meaning Maiser Sheni has to be brought to Yerushalayim, not true by Truma. The Dalet is Vidui. The Vidui Maiser is set over Maiser Sheni, not over Truma. Good. And the Samach is Asur La'onein. And Onein is not allowed to eat, Maiser Sheni. Oddly enough, an Onein is allowed to eat Truma. But we already made this point as well. Tuma. A Tame is not allowed to eat Truma. Tame is allowed to eat, Maiser Sheni. So, I'm sorry. No. Tuma is Tumas Atzmo. That once it's tamei, you're not allowed to eat it, and you're subject to malchus. That's not true by truma. And finally, beis is biur. How to dispose of it. Okay. Anyway, so these are all characteristics that are specific to maaser sheni and not by truma. So afilo hachi misa adifa. And the Gemara says, yeah, but look, you're right. There are characteristics of maaser sheni that are not shared by truma, and chumras by maaser sheni. You're right about that. But when all said and done, Misa kind of tips the scales, meaning if you eat truma and you're not a kohen, you're subject to misa b'day shamayim. In other words, case closed. Right, truma is more chamer. And Rav Amar below misa adifa nami lamatzis amar namakar nefesh ezu davar sheshavel bechol nefesh havi omer zem meiser. So the Gemara says no, because we know that after you tov in the mikvah, it's a reference to meiser. Why? Because the pasuk over there says the words nefesh. So, and nefesh comes to tell me something that can be enjoyed by everybody. What's something that can be enjoyed by everybody? It's not truma. Truma can only be eaten by kohanim. So therefore, it's talking about maaser sheni. Ve'akati hanimi lehechad la bar kapara, v'alhechad bar kapara de maisi kapara. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're talking about somebody who only needs tefillah and harav shemesh. What about for the person who needs tefillah, harav shemesh, and mechusa kapara? Maybe for such an individual, he needs all three steps in order to become, in order to be able to eat. Amar Rabbi Trey Kreik Siva, be a lettuce. By Aryo lettuce, there are two psukim. Siv ad malos, yamei tahara. Kevin shemilu yamei tahara. So once she counts her day, she's tahor, meaning a woman who has given birth to a boy, 40 days. For a girl, 80 days. Now I know within those 40 days, it's broken up into 733, but for our discussion, we don't pay attention to that. For our discussion, we're just talking about those 40 days after a boy, 80 days after a girl. Now, that's what's called her malos. Now, for those 40 days, she is considered like a really long tful yom, in which she's tummy for those 40 days. And then, on the 41st day after a boy, she now is eligible to bring a carbon. So for 40 days, she's a tful yom, and then on the... On Harav Shemesh on the night of the 41st day, Erev Mem Aleph, she now becomes she just experienced Harav Shemesh. Next day she brings Karbanos. Now, it says on Melos Yemei Tahara, Kevin Shemilu Yemei Tahara. So she counts 40 days, she's Tahor. And then, Ksivichiper Alakon Vitahera. And then it says that she brings the Karbanos the next day and she's Tahor. So did you follow? She's Tahor. Follow them by she's Tahor. So Hakeit said, Kan Lachuma, Kan Lakadashem. Okay, good. So that means now that what do you see? Here we're talking about a principled example of someone who needs to bring karbanos. Every woman who's given birth is mechusa kapara. She needs to bring karbanos. And what do we learn together? That she becomes tahara after the malos, and she becomes tahara the next day as well. So the tahara after the malos is what? Her ability to eat shuma. Obviously, we're talking about a bas kohen or somebody married to a kohen. the epach. I'm sorry. And then the next day when she brings karbanos, she's tahor once again. The epachana. So the Gemara says, okay, now again, how about flipping that around? No, the Gemara says no. Mistarba kodesh chamor shekein pan kachas. So the Gemara says no. Kodesh has more chumros. Go back to yesterday's daf where the Gemara articulated all these chumros that you have by karban. Adra b'chuma chamor shekein machpaz. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Shuma's got its unique characteristics. Good. So Hanach Nefishin. So the Gemara says, okay, hold up the scorecard. Okay, 6-4. Kachim is more chamer than Shuma. And Rav Amar, Bala Hanach Nefishin, Lamasas Amar, Amar Krav, V'chiper Allah, HaKoin V'tahera, Machlal Shi Tameya. So now, even the Pasuk itself is telling us that we're talking about Karbanos. Isa Kedach B'Kachim, Ikre Kan, V'Abasar, Sher Yiga, B'chol Tamet Lo Yochal, Elishma Mina B'Shuma. So contextually, the pasuk is talking about Shuma. It's not talking about Karbanos. Okay. We're going to pause over here awkwardly because, quite frankly, we're in the middle of a discussion. But, okay, let's quickly recap. Recapping is easy. Because the first half of the daf is just one thread. And that is a $9 medal, first half of today's daf. All we did is litigate. Can a RL eat Meister Sheni, yes or no? Reb Yitzchak says no because of Gzeira Shava linking Meister Sheni to that of the Karban Pesach. Okay, that's first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf, a Tamei Kohen cannot eat Truma. The Pasuk never articulates that point clearly, so we did two things on the second half of today's daf. One, how do we know the Pasuk is talking about Truma? It just says, Min HaKadashim. How do we know it's talking about Truma? Good. So it's something which is universal, that can be enjoyed by all Kohanim, male and female, that's talking about Truma. Okay, and it's not talking about Chazav Shokin. Okay, it's talking about Truma. That was point number one. Point number two of today's daf, which we're kind of in the middle of discussing, and it's going to go also well into tomorrow's daf, and that is that at what stage of the Tahara process can our Kohen now enjoy Truma? We all know the answer. The answer is clear. Harif Shemesh. He tovels in the mikvah, she tovels in the mikvah, then the sun sets, then you're allowed to eat Truma. It's the first Mishnah in Brachos. We knew this already going back to day one of Shas. It's the first Mishnah in Brachos. But, me'echitesa, meaning how do I know that? Minanimili. So that's what we're trying to wrap our heads around. And that we have three stages of Tahara. The Tzila is step number one. The Harav Shemesh is step number two. The Mechusi Kippurim is step number three. And all we're doing is the classic drushes of the Gemara that how do I know that after the second stage of the Tahara process, after Tefillin, after Harav Shemesh, now this Tahara allows our Kohen to enjoy Truma. How do I know that? That's what we're trying to wrap our heads around. And we're balancing all the Psukim, and we're balancing the Pasuk regarding the Yoledis as well. Good. We continue tomorrow.